Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Grassroots Bargaining on CannabisRadio.com continues, but before we do that, let's go talk about the Buzz CRM, our new sponsor here on the network and here on this program, which offers over 500 marketing tools in one platform, AI-powered marketing automation, omni-channel communication. It's all in one. Everything you needed for your marketing needs, it's all here in one place. Detailed analytics, reporting tools, it's a lot. Smart workflows, customization. We use it, of course, right here at Cannabis Radio in our own setup. But again, we are spreading the word. And if you want to go ahead and get yourself involved and try out the Buzz CRM for yourself and see how powerful, how customizable, and how many things you can get off your plate. Think about it. I mean, you could cut away the amount of extra delegation to employees, have it all managed in one place, AI-driven, streamlined tasks, everything. So email, campaign, social media management, lead tracking, customer engagement, time added, productivity boosted. The Buzz CRM, again, the website is thebuzzcrm.com, thebuzzcrm.com. Go and get your free trial today. Right now, I want to go and welcome my next guest. Is an Alabama-owned and operated manufacturer of bulk CBD products, complex industrial extraction system, a GMP-certified operation, love to see that, and one of the largest low-cost hemp processors in the nation. Earlier this year, they were able to go and claim the fact that they were able to extract and process over 1 million pounds of hemp biomass in 2023, and they had plans to even triple that into 2024. So right now, let me go ahead and welcome the CEO of Samson Extracts, Kyle Nethery. Kyle, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So how far have you gotten to that anticipated goal of getting surpassing 1 million pounds of biomass hemp? Where are you at today?
Yeah, so we're performing pretty strong right now. I'd say we had to go down in July and August to build a bigger system we have, but right now we're probably sitting at close to 1.5 million or so this year, and then our new system that we just installed gives us the capability to get up to a little over 500,000 pounds. So we should be able to hit our 3 million goal this year pretty easy.
And for the fact you have that much bulk CBD isolate that you've been able to manufacture, process, it's not just in Alabama. You are looking at other markets right now. I'm moving into international markets and expanding as a global player in the hemp and cannabis sector. So what can you tell me about where you're looking to expand and what's the market look like for you and who has been reached out to you?
Well, there's certainly a domestic push we're making now because we really got our isolation system nailed down really well here over the last 6 to 8 weeks. And so we are making a hardcore domestic push to get product out, and really not as much looking towards large bulk buying, but we are trying to have a larger customer breadth that's buying less kilos at a time. So that's one of our main pushes that we're looking at on our side. But we are taking a look at the international markets. There are certainly a few countries that have companies operating there that we spoke to in the European region that is certainly having a similar style of demand that you would see here in the States and some in South America as well. So that's where we spent a lot of that time. The one thing, though, much like the U.S., is where it can be a little bit of a chess game, because they're still in those countries as they're in. They're fluid in what their regulation systems look like and so forth. So, you know, you really have seen a lot of press over the last 2 weeks. Some countries are clamping down. Some countries are opening up. You know, whatever these types of things are. So that's something we have to monitor. But I'd say there are some European countries and South American countries we're looking at least doing some domestic or some isolate export to.
So right now, as we record this program, it's October 1st. And yesterday, the 2018 Farm Bill and the extensions thereof expired. So right now, we don't have any word as to what's going to be happening right now. But there's a lot of issues everybody's always talking about in terms of, since 2018, that inflation has really been hitting hard. You know, the dollar's worth only 80% of what it was in 2018. And, you know, value of the dollar set aside for research and innovation, conservation programs for farmers in general are worth 80% of what they were in 2018. That's a big significant part there. Now, for yourselves, I made the point across, being good manufacturing practices certified, huge. I talk about it across the board. When it comes to those that are going to work in CBD and hemp and cannabis in general, that's a particular compliance standard that we always have looked at. And from many interviews I've done here on Blunt Business and Grassroots Marketing, it is the standard that is, it's a universal standard across many other industries. But right now, at this point, we're not with a farm bill to work off of, but yet a firm like yours, an outfit like yours, is compliant, is working above and beyond, is putting a lot of product out there. Do you see any concerns right now? And have you heard anything about what's going to be happening from the USDA in just in terms of, or you know, finding what they're going to do going forward with the farm bill? Because nothing's been put together. And I don't know why it was lapsed like it does. And right now we're at a presidential election. You know, everything else is, you know, areas kind of looking at other things and not paying attention to this.
Yeah. And it's, so we've actually spent a good bit of time in DC this year. We're not associated with any type of associations. We actually just, we lobby on our own behalf. You know, that's what we feel comfortable doing, because when you get in associations, you have disagreements about principled stances. And so we've taken on some of that on our own, but we have spent some time up there. And it's been, you know, if you'd asked me 4 months ago, you know, we really hit it hard because we got fairly nervous about the Mary Miller amendment that has become popular amongst the hemp folks, not in a good way per se, but that was really our first spot that we got nervous about, because we don't manufacture psychoactive cannabinoids. We certainly understand that was the spirit of that legislation, but our biggest concern was it was so aggressive, and it felt slightly overreaching that we had large concerns about that would even pull the rug out from under CBD operators, and not only CBD farmers. And then when we saw similar language trip into the appropriation side, we got nervous, but we also had concerns about that, because appropriations isn't the place for legislation to be made. That's for when legislation's funded. So that was a bit of a workaround that was tried. And our biggest concerns at that point was, we are finally, you know, a lot of people went out and started growing hemp in, you know, call it 2019, 2020. One,
yep.
You know, as the story goes, a lot of farmers got burned, lost their shirts, companies went out of business, and so forth. And what scared us the most about it was, we finally feel like we're at a point where farmers are getting back comfortable. This year, really, most importantly, in 24, this has been our biggest year for contract growing versus spot buys, and we were super concerned that we build this confidence back for the industry just for the federal government to pull the rug out from under the farmers. And as you know, farmers aren't venture capitalists.
No,
they will only get burned so many times before they just get done. So that's where we hit our piece hard there. But I'd say what's more recently happened, which has been a kind of a different 2 weeks, is there was a lot of talk that Farm Bill was not being focused on because they were just trying to keep the government funded in our very polarizing political system we have now. But they got the government funded, and then Farm Bill talk has come back up again. I think where we kind of see things, just from our perspective, is the, you know, hemp is, you know, us in the hemp industry, we act like the Farm Bill is this cheap document, but it might be 0.5% that entire document, right? There's a lot of bigger fish to fry. If you've watched any of the Farm Bill sessions, they're arguing a lot more about food stamps, SNAP, those types of high budget programs that we have in that piece. So we think if the farm bill expiration happens, hemp's very polarizing in those discussions. You know, I think we're hopeful that hemp actually remains the same in the current farm bill while they're trying to pass the farm bill for those other important purposes, and that with some of the senator-based legislation that has come out from Senator Wyden out of Oregon, we are fully backing that legislation from our perspective. We think that's what responsible operators want. They want regulation, because with regulation, that only validates CBD as a product that much more. And then the other piece of legislation that came out from Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, which we thought was actually great. We think it'd be interesting to see how it goes, but that farmers really don't have any more THC restrictions that relies on an end product. So, I mean, that's huge for the farmers, because typically when a farmer is growing hemp, they aren't able to actually the hemp plant out to full maturity, as you would see in a regulated marijuana situation, because they have to be concerned about the THC levels. So if a farmer can go from having to very strictly grow 8 or 10% CBD, and then they can start growing 18 to 20%, you know, for a farmer, that could take a $2.50, $3 a pound product up to a $6.50, you know, $7 a pound product. So those would be huge waves to make for the industry, and we're pretty supportive of those. But we're hopeful that that type of legislation is being looked at, Senator Wyden and Senator Paul. But the thing that's interesting about the farm bill is it's still in the House. The Senate hasn't produced a farm bill draft yet. So that's an interesting piece to this whole topic, is because the House has to pass a draft, the Senate has to pass a draft, and then they have to meet in a committee to actually come up with one document. Well, the Senate hasn't done their part on the farm bill yet. So when it's going to happen is still, who knows at this point.
Well, one of the things that's very significant is the fact of, I mean, how many FDA commissions do we need to go through? And how much do we need to go ahead and have oversight and, you know, public response, public counsel, you know, meetings, public, you know, at least commentary, feedback. But the thing is right now is that we never even got a full-fledged layout. What are the rules? What is the framework that's going to be passed along with the farm bill? I mean, allowed hemp farming to go along as it is, but we never got any rules or ramifications, anything that sets a particular barrier, a particular benchmark. And that's the problem I've always had with the hemp bills, that we don't, public commentary can be, you know, till the cows come home. But really, and I'm not trying to use a pun, I'm just saying we haven't gotten anywhere to where there's a standard that can be put in place, because then how many outliers have we had that have been putting out, you know, subpar or inferior CBD products, you know, issues with the labeling and packaging of products that have been looking like, you know, kids' products, things like that. All this has been going on by the wayside, but there's no enforcement. There's nothing in this bill right now that offers the enforcement or offers the regulation. Meanwhile, groups like yours, you know, individually lobbying toward them, I'm sure you've had a conversation with them. You're saying to them, I would imagine, look, we're above ground. We're doing everything by the book and then some. And we're just asking, give us some kind of benchmark so that everybody can go follow along the same playbook.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the few times, to be honest with you, it's probably one of the few times in the world of capitalism where there's actually a group of companies that are begging to be regulated. You know, and I'm not, you know, usually, you know, if you looked in industries, you certainly could have labor pools or workforces, I would say, from a safety perspective, you know, there needs to be some regulating here. But from the capitalistic perspective, us who are running the company and our owner, we're saying, what do we need to do to make us regulate? Because it's hard to call it. It's a federally ran program that I think from a practical perspective is hard to call federally ran, because as you said, the federal standard is very light on the rule set.
Yep.
And then the states have to only work off that lightness of that rule set, which, you know, as you start to branch out to various entities, that's when you start to get to that kind of mosh pit of regulation, right? This state does A, the state does B, the state does C, the state does D. And I think it's a challenge, and it leaves open to, so oftentimes states are regulated by maybe a 4-person team, a 5-person team, you know, and that's just not enough ground to cover. And so we've been begging for the regulation. We actually got to listen to Patrick Cornoyer speak in Colorado, who's kind of the FDA lead for cannabis. And it's really this whole tennis match of the FDA blames it on Congress not letting them regulate it. The Congress says the FDA is not going to regulate it. And the big issue is that the FDA, due to their roadmaps, can't say that CBD is a absolutely safe product because they don't know what will happen in 40 years, right? 40 years of CBD use. And it's frustrating because you see from our position, we're trying to build a large business, but there's always that risk that it could be pulled out from under you overnight, right? How far can you plan in advance? How much do you want to grow? How much biomass do you want to keep in inventory? How much do you want to contract to farmers? Like, these are always kind of, I don't necessarily want to say fearful planning steps, but we have to have that in mind that, if we go out and contract 3 million pounds of biomass, and then all of a sudden something like the Mary Miller Amendment goes through, what do we do, right? Because that's not cheap. If you went out and bought 3 million pounds of inventory right now, you're spending upwards of $10 million for that on biomass.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
So these can all be concerns from us and are pretty constantly from what we do to plan our business.
And so for those that want to just make sure to understand what that Mary Miller Amendment would be, is that would change the definition of hemp in the Agricultural Marketing Act 1946 to only include naturally occurring, naturally derived, and non-intoxicating cannabinoids, and which would be significant. And I can only imagine what kind of a cost would be on that. But then again, there's a lot of things that the Farm Bill, because of the expiration, I mean, looking at a story that I saw that really brought up, and it says what happens to this. This is from FBA.org, farmbill.org. And they're talking about the fact of all these different share programs and different funding programs. Yeah. There's nothing from government assistance that helps out for these folks here. The other issue is that, the kind of money that you're going to have to spend, if there's other things you have to go and worry about that are, again, other amendments, the government is just completely all over the place, in my opinion. But yeah, there's bipartisan support. You mentioned Senators Wyden and Paul that are, in lockstep in various areas to help support the Farm Bill. And Mitch McConnell helped to go and put this across the board in 2018. Things are there, but it's like there's just no consensus.
And it's not a partisan issue.
No, it's not.
Hemp is not a partisan issue, and I've seen that firsthand even in D.C.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only is it a nonpartisan issue, it's also creating very weird friends. To some extent, right? I mean, because even if you look at the Mary Miller Amendment and even some of the appropriation stuff, a lot of that is being sponsored by incredibly conservative Republicans that are from recreationally marijuana legal states,
right?
I'd have a hard time believing there lacks influence there, that recreational marijuana takes a hit from the hemp derived product side. And so you're getting, even if you look at, there was some great hemp legislation that went through roughly 6 weeks ago. And I think it was Thomas Massey, Jamie Comer, who leads the oversight committee on the jurisdictional side. And then it had Democrats in there too. I think it was 3 Republicans, 2 Democrats that sponsored that legislation. So you're seeing it very, very nonpartisan. And you have conservative Republicans that are for hemp. You have liberal Democrats that are for hemp.
then you have liberal Democrats that are
against it. You know, so it's a weird
situation. For
sure. Well, the thing is that I encompass that. We're going to move off of the farm bill because, you know, we're still waiting for things. But the idea is that, you know, it still comes down to the fact that, you know, Samson Extrax is a role model. It's setting the trend because you're operating industrial scale, GMP certified in Geneva, Alabama. And the fact is, I mean, that's not cheap. There's a whole lot of compliance, a whole lot of things when it comes to quality, consistency, safety, and the CBD supply chain to make sure that's done. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, there's a lot of effort being put into your advanced extraction techniques and technologies that you employ, and it helps you to ensure scalability production without sacrificing any of those other issues of quality. So tell me about that part in terms of the investment you put into this and, you know, the fact of what you're going to do in terms of, you know, almost an exponential amount of growth in biomass production.
Yeah, we've been, you know, so Samson Extracts opened in 2019. We didn't sell a product till 2022 because, you know, and I didn't get here until 2022 either. Not that I'm seeing this correlation there, but one thing we tried to do straight off is went large scale at the beginning, and that didn't, you know, there were some challenges there. I think when they started off, typical issue in the cannabis industries is that you sold equipment that you think does A, but it just doesn't. It doesn't net out that way. And so when I got here in 2022, our first year was really spent on, can we use existing equipment, re-engineer existing equipment to actually hit numbers that we were happy with. So that first year, I really theme it as, can we do it? The second year was, can we scale it? So when you really look at a lot of 2023, it was about doing it at large volume. And the biggest challenge here when it comes to that volume piece, and I can't emphasize this enough, I talk about all the time, is when I ran my marijuana operation in Michigan, you know, I could go to insert, you know, Precision, you know, one of these extraction companies and buy some equipment that needs to be plugged in, switch turned on, it does its thing. Well, we don't have that ability at all here. A lot of the equipment we use was oil and gas equipment, agricultural processing equipment. Our distillation tower is four stories high, for example. My old CDE 1000 from Precision I used in Michigan is about the size of two double doors. So there's a lot of engineering that actually goes into our efforts here from the complexity side, because if you're moving 500,000 pounds of biomass through your system, that's not as easy as turning on a button and let augers take it and it goes through all these different processes. So there's a massive amount of complexity that comes into the engineering side, because it's a hard product to work with. That's why you don't see a lot of people extracting biomass, because it's a dirty job and it's painful, and you're dealing with oils that are thick and sticky and don't like to move under ambient temperatures, all of these issues. And so the last year we've really tried to flex our quality bone more, I'd say, where it's all about, and we're starting to deep dive our sciences too on that. What we're trying to do is we're really trying to understand, you know, if you output a 60% kilo of crude oil, what's that 40%? Because you always want to be able to improve your potencies on that front. Right? That's something we're spending a lot of time right now understanding, you know, how much of that makeup is proteins, how much of that makeup is fat, how much of those makeup is phospholipids, you know, whatever these plant biologies that we get out inadvertently. We're trying to spend a lot of time focusing in and what's the best practice. And we're having to look at other industries. We spent a lot of time studying the beer industry. It's very similar. And we start to look at essential oil industries, things like this. And we're trying to see what are they doing, because they deal with the same things. And so we're trying to be a little bit information forward on that, because a lot of time in the cannabis industries, everyone thinks because it has this mystique and it's, you know, could be quasi taboo or whatever word you want to use about it, that you're the only people doing it. But everyone forgets that, you know, whether you're extracting hops or you're doing extracting peanuts or corn, all of these are plants. So people have figured this stuff out. You just have to figure out how it applies to hemp. So we spend a ton of investment on process engineering on our side.
And from that end, you also are able to go and help a lot of companies in terms of building out CBD products, particularly CBD isolates. So there's a point where you're actually helping companies in product development so they can find consumer preferences, whether they're finding something that's water-soluble, CBD or CBG or any other phytocannabinoids that are out there. You're actually a little more in more granular detail. You can find more from the biomass of what companies can do with the hemp.
And that's where, and the one big basis, and I always joke about this, is why we want to focus on so much on quality is because, like, at the end of the day, we want to be Walmart pricing. You know, that's how I felt it is. We don't claim the premium word that every single cannabis company does. I don't have a lot of interest in doing that. We want to make a product that everyone can use at an affordable price. So we want to focus a ton on our purity because, like, hey, if I don't have to put any more money in it into it to get it just as pure, I'm not going to sell it for super high pricing
right. Because
I did that. And so that's even a bit of a focus is we want to be able to have similar pricing with high purity so our customers can actually feel that advantage as well rather than just us, you know, charging a sky-high price or anything like that.
And part of that quality is going to come from the sustainability efforts you make. So water usage, energy efficiency, sustainable farming, that helps to create that quality product.
Yeah, exactly. No, it all goes into it. I mean, because we're, especially when you start getting into high-scale operations, you start to focus on pennies more than you do dollars, right? You know, if we can remove an agricultural super sack tote for our process, you know, if we can use 15 of those less a day, what does that do to our bottom line? And so we're in that mode where we're trying to make small movements to have increased levels of margin on our side.
Let's send people to the website, samsonextracts.com, SAMSON extracts.com. And for those of you going to the website and, you know, want to learn more, you know, might not be able to make that trip down to Geneva, Alabama. I don't know how easy it is to get for the airport, but still, for those who want to go and buy wholesale CBD products, and you have a product lineup that is, again, GMP standards, you manufacture at that level, so it tells you a lot. You have over 1,000 customers. Again, you're generating up over a million pounds of biomass per year. So tell people about what they should be doing when they go to the website and who should be reaching out to you.
Yeah, and so there's a couple of things. Is we have our main Samson Extracts website, and that's where you can learn a lot about our bulk extracts. Erin Todd's our director of sales and marketing here. She, you know, oversees a lot of that, takes in, and that can be, you know, the people that are going to be at that website are going to be people who are looking for bulk extracts. And it's not exclusive to bulk. You know, we have sometimes we'll sell a barrel of 200 kilos. Sometimes, you know, we'll sell multiple of those. But we also try to provide value for the smaller shop that may only need 1 to 5 kilos. So that's really where we're trying to expand a lot of our business. And then we also launched a skincare line called Wiregrass Wellness, where you can also find some pathways through Samson Extracts. So if you're looking for CBD skincare products that also have a lot of the same ingredients that you would normally use with skincare. That's something we've launched here in the last few months that we've done a lot of sampling. We've done a lot of that stuff to get feedback, and we feel pretty dialed into the consumer. So those are really the two pieces there.
Fantastic. Kyle Nethery, CEO of Samson Extracts. Website again is SAMSON extracts.com. Thank you for being on with us. Really great conversation. Really glad to have you on.
No, thanks for having me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
And I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.